Rewriting the present. We rewrote the past, we rewrote the future, and now we're rewriting the present. This is Thought for Today from Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing. Rewriting the present. We've been talking about this movie that we had seen where they drank this water which made them immortal. And as they were drinking this water and being immortal, we were thinking to ourselves, well, what a limited situation. They can only do what their bodies do. They can only be what their bodies are. And they can only see what their bodies see and so forth. And I think that we might look at that in another light. Instead of saying their bodies became immortal, they became immortal. Now you see, if you're just going to think that your bodies are immortal, because that's the obvious thing that you're looking at, you're seeing this body that it remains the same age and the same physique and the same everything that it was at the time you drank the water, and you maintain perfect health all of your life because nothing can touch you. You maintain perfect awareness all of your life because you live in that consciousness of immortality. Now, did the thought ever cross your mind in imagination that if you could drink the water of immortality, it not only changed your physical body, changed your mental body and your spiritual body? Now, are you going to stay exactly as you are? Well, how are you? You are divine. Really. Just because you haven't acted divine, you are divine. And everything that the divine does, you can do. You return to your original purity and integrity. This is an awareness thing. And you don't always know that you're doing it. You don't always know that you've returned to your original purity and integrity and are back as you were, as your archetypal self. But you see, when the immortality of the body is taken care of, you no longer have to be concerned about the body. Now you can put your mind entirely on your spiritual life. Remember the Hindus' concept, 2-2-2? 20 to get to school, 20 to raise a family, and 20 to work on your spiritual life, and then kaput, you know. So, is that what you want to do? Is that how you want to do it? Do you want to limit yourself to that experience? Or are you now free of that? You're free of the 2020. You're free of going to school, and you're free of raising a family. Now you're ready to just walk your spiritual path. Your body is always going to be perfect. It can't be hurt. It can't be maimed. It doesn't need food unless you want to give it to it. Is your body perfect? Does your body change? Is it whatever it is? If your body's immortal, it remains the way it is, okay? All right. So, now, the next step. Whatever you put on your body, if it's clothing, that too becomes immediately immortal. Because anything that's associated with you is immortal. Now, if you touch your computer, that becomes immortal too. You say, well, Herb, you're pushing it a little bit. Sure, why not? If you can drink water and become immortal, why not everything you touch? Like King Midas, you know, everything he touched turned to gold. So now you're living in the present. So right now in the present, you are experiencing everything. Now we say, I am living in my eternally perfect, ideal, spirit-minded body. We say, I am independently wealthy. We say, I am the pure white light of love. I am the pure white light of love. Now, what does it mean to be the pure white light of love? What it means to be the pure white light of love is that you are all good, that everything you see is glorious. We've talked about that, remember? You just need to turn up your rheostat a little bit so that your light becomes brighter, 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 and pretty soon you don't see any shadows at all. You don't see any negative things at all. You don't see anything contrary to you, to your pure white light of love. Now, if that's a possibility, and it seems possible, if that's a possibility, why shouldn't immortality be a possibility? If that's a possibility, why shouldn't in immortality you see the world as perfect? You don't see anything needing changing. You don't see that you have to be like Saint Germain and go to different political leaders and guide them into a higher light, into a higher way. You turn up your light and you see all the world in perfect harmony because you choose to be on the world. You choose to be there, so might as well see it in perfect harmony, you know? Why see it as needing repair? Why see it as being emotionally unstable? Why see it as being anything other than its perfect self? That's an art. That's an art. But it's an art to remember to do what, Sylvia?
To turn up the
rheostat. We can do that, but we have to remember to do it. And we do it with our thought. We do it by saying, I am the pure white light of love. And everything I see through my pure white light of love. I see through the eyes of the pure white light of love. I cannot see any errors. I cannot see any problems. I cannot see any people who are wanting to accomplish something, because in my pure white light of love, everyone accomplishes whatever is the desire of their heart. Even though for them it might be not beneficial. If it's the desire of their heart, they may have it. Do you understand that? We say, well, why would God, thinking of God outside of ourselves, why would God allow us to have wars and to kill each other? Why would God allow little children to starve? Why would God allow little children to have diseases and things that make them ill and kill them before they're even not little children any longer? Well, you see, that's not God. God has given everything to everybody right now to experience anything they want to experience. And that's the divine in us, God in us. And we are experiencing whatever it is we want by our choice, and we are doing it regularly. We're living in the present. We're saying, I am sick. I have problems. I'm unhappy. Or I'm happy. I'm fulfilled. I feel great. Life is a wonderful experience. Now, you're living in the now, and you're experiencing in the now whatever it is you want. You're living in the present moment now, right in the present moment now. And what is that that you're doing? What is it that you're doing? Are you being your original purity and integrity? Are you being your divine self? Or are you saying, I'm sick? Now, Ellen was talking about some incidences that she had with one of our students a while back. And she was mentioning that the incident were a little frightful. And she was recalling these things. Now, Ellen just gave herself a good shot of 100 proof whiskey. And she shook up her body for a few moments. And then she said to herself, I don't like that. I don't like that whiskey in my body. I like love, but not whiskey. So then she started to change her attitude about the student, and she remembered that the student was brilliant, and the student could do anything, and the student was wonderful. Why remember the negatives unless you want to re-empower them to relive? Now, did she relive those things as she was telling it? You bet she did. Did she? Now look at her, putting cream in an empty cup. And you know that's 15 calories? Terrible. But why did she want to relive it? Why did it give her a good feeling to take that shot of whiskey? You know, that's what people do when they take a shot of whiskey. It shakes up their whole body for a moment. What are you saying? It's so good. Now, Ellen is being totally irrespective and disrespectful to what I'm saying. I am talking about the shot of whiskey being a negative influence in our body.
Not good.
And you are saying it's so good.
No, that is not good.
But you are saying it's so good.
No, that's
good. You have to remember when you say something, it has to be in tune with what you're talking about. Now, you're saying to your sweetheart, yes, dear, I'll marry you. Yes, dear, I'll marry you. And then your mother shouts out, Ellen, did you run into that cat on the street? Did you kill that cat? And you say, yes, mother. What you meant is you're saying yes to your sweetheart. And so then you say yes to your mother because you're not even thinking about what your mother's asking you. You're not even aware of the question that she's asking. You're just, oh, yes, mother. Because all you can think about is that you have just said yes to your sweetheart. Now, we have to be bigger than that. We have to be broader than that in our scope. We have to be more intensive. Or is it broader or is it specific? Probably is more specific, because we don't want to ever say something to anything unless we really know what we're saying something to. Because we can say things that we don't mean, and we can do things that we don't mean, and we can say, oh, for instance, you're saying yes to your sweetheart, and you're a widow, and you're thinking of getting married again, and your children are coming around, Mommy, can we go to the show? Mommy, can we do this? And you have just said yes to your sweetheart. And so, I mean, it's yes for everything, for anybody. You say, go ahead. We need some money. Well, here's some money. Mommy, we need, can we call the chauffeur and have the limousine come pick us up? Oh, anything you want, sweethearts, go right ahead. And so then they call up the limousine to come pick them up, and all the neighborhood kids take them to the show.
And Mama pays.
Yeah, Mama pays. And the neighbors look out the window and say, my God, what's happened to that woman? What is she doing with her kids, you know, letting them have a limousine to go to the theater? But, you see,
fun.
Yeah, fun. But when you're in that mode, and I took the yes mode rather than the no mode, when you're in the yes mode, you have to be kind of careful, because you might say yes to something that you really shouldn't or wouldn't under normal circumstances. But you're living in the present. So from that illustration, it's kind of a nice experience. The kids will not forget going to the theater in a limousine. And of course, you won't forget paying the bill. But it's not that expensive. And it is something that they would remember forever. Mm-hmm. But be living in the present. When you live in the present, you're doing everything perfect. You're doing everything exactly the way you want it. You're taking a knife and cutting your finger off. That's exactly what you wanted to do. Herb, what are you saying? No, if you're living in the present, you're doing everything in the present. Now, would you cut your finger off purposely or even unconsciously? No, you choose not to do that. So why would you ever do it at all? I wasn't thinking. Well, there is never a time when you're not thinking. You are always living in the present. You are always on top of everything. You are always, so to speak, thinking. You are always cognizant of what you're doing. You never do something by accident, do you?
No.
You never do something with a wrong ulterior motive, do you?
No.
You always do everything in harmony with your highest and best.
Yes.
Thank you. At least one of you says yes, my goodness. Even and Ingeborg, she sits here like a rock on a log and, you know, just waiting to have somebody kick her off. But speak up when I give you a chance. I don't give you much chance in my talks to speak up. I just sort of ramble on. But rewriting the present Now, we rewrite the present by beginning with who we are. Now, who are you?
God in person.
God in person. Well, that's interesting. That's a new statement. So you're God in person. Now, did you just have to eat your breakfast?
No.
What did you do?
I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it. Well, what did you do? You took an empty cup and put in some whipped cream from the Smart and Final can and squirted it in there on nothing, just because you wanted to take your spoon and dip it in and eat it, right?
Right.
Great. Now, why would you do such an idiotic, stupid, irresponsible thing? That's not what that cream is for. That cream is supposed to go on top of coffee or cake or something else.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed first taking the bottle and spritz it in and just watch how it made a nice decoration and then put my spoon in and just enjoy it.
Okay, now, who are you?
Me.
God.
Of God. Yeah.
Okay, who are you? I mean, she was God before. I thought I'd get it out of her again, too. Okay, so, can you do anything you want?
Of course.
Did you do what you wanted to do?
All right.
Now, what would you think if Ingeborg did that? Yeah. What would you think if Sylvia would do that? Yeah. Now, you see, you have to, as God, see everyone doing exactly what you're doing because what you do is good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't complain.
Yeah.
And if you complain, you're complaining about yourself.
Yeah.
In other words, what you are doing is wrong if it's wrong for anybody else to do it.
That's right.
Now you say, well, what about it's right for me to go with my husband and it's not right for them to go with my husband? Well, why is that so?
It's a choice.
Yeah, but why is it wrong? That's the point.
It wouldn't even be wrong. It's wrong because we think it's wrong.
All right, now, why would you think it's wrong? Because of what?
Of moral, of rules.
What?
Possession.
Thank you. Why would you think it's wrong? It's because you possess him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say morals and rules, those things too, but it's possession. Why do we have rules for possession? Why do we have morals for possession? It's just a matter of possessing certain attitudes of society and culture, which are not bad. I mean, they all serve their purpose. But do we want any possession in our life?
No.
Then how do we not have possession in our life?
Live in the present.
Live in the present. When you live in the present, then you don't have possessions in your life. When you live in the present, you don't think that some things can be done and some things cannot be done just because of your possession. Now, what if somebody came here and got in your Jaguar there and drove it around the corner?
So what?
Great. And you don't even know the person.
Whoever
enters your car.
Oh, whatever is in my consciousness is surrounded by my pure white light of love.
Could you ever have a car taken from your awareness, which belonged to you, which was under your control?
under your non-possession.
Under your non-possession, yeah. And could anyone ever violate anything that you think is important? You see, you're rewriting the present. Now, why then do we buy these locks that go on the steering wheel that's in car? We didn't. But I mean, why do we buy the lock that goes on the steering wheels of cars? Why do we lock the doors of the car all the time? Why do we do all... I take my convertible and I have the top down. Well, obviously with the top down, you know, and with the convertible, if anybody wanted to go in, they'd just slash into the canvas and open the door, you know, big deal. But people don't do that. People don't do that because people with convertibles have a good consciousness.
Yeah.
people, you have to. You have to. And not that you have to, but you do. And this is the wonderful thing about us. When we live in the present, we're rewriting the present. We're rewriting the present in our terms. So, people say, well, you should listen to the newspapers, and you should listen to the newspaper. You should read the newspapers and listen to television, and you should read the newspaper and listen to the radio and watch television. You know, got to get these things all in the right order. So you got to read the newspapers, listen to the radio, and watch television to be aware of what's going on in the world, so you can worry about it. And I say, why? 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 Why would you want to do that? The only reason you want to do that is because you're not living in the present. You're living in the past. Now, we're rewriting the present. The present that we're rewriting it in doesn't have newspapers, television, radio. The present that we have doesn't have otherness. It doesn't have anybody else in this world, entirely world, other than ourselves. Now, you say, well, what about my mother? What about, you know, they're yourself. What about the thousands of people in Los Angeles? They're yourself. Now, what kind of people are they?
Fantastic.
What kind of people are they? Are they fantastic, beautiful people? Are they thoughtful, courteous, kind people? Are they rewrite the present?
They're rich and wealthy and healthy and beautiful.
My God. They'll love to hear that, too, and experience that. Now, that is a fact. You're rewriting the present. Your thoughts were otherwise. Now, why in the movie Tuck Everlasting, why in the movie of Tuck Everlasting did they mention the point that they were immune to being shot or killed or hurt in any way? They were immune to disease. Why did they say that?
Forever.
Now, why did they say that? Why did they even mention that? You see, when you are something, you don't even mention it.
Yeah.
When you are immune, you don't mention it. When you are untouchable, you don't mention it. You just are untouchable. You see, this is the difference between being and wanting to be. When we want to be something, we talk about it.
Yeah, that's true.
When we are something, we don't even talk about it. We just are it.
Yeah.
And we just live it and express it and go around the world being it. And it's wonderful. But that's what we want to do. We want to rewrite the present. The present that we called the present up to now had all of these limitations in it, and that no longer. Now the present is just a free and open book. It's filled with pages that have nothing written on them, just waiting for us to be ourselves and have fun in whatever it is that delights us. Can you afford to be that way? Can you afford in your personality to let go of the family, to let go of life, to let go of all the things that have ever been in your world, and just be in whatever world you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Tuck family, they continued to live in the woods there. They found that very delightful. But they lived there for the wrong reason.
They were hiding.
They were hiding. And whenever you hide from something, you're not living.
Making a secret out of it.
Making a secret out of it. Don't make a secret out of the fact that you're God. Don't make a secret out of the fact that you are immortal, that you are eternal. Live it. This is what I tell you about our philosophy all the time. Live it. Don't go teaching it, preaching it. Live it. Live it, live it, live it. And when you do, you'll be rewriting the present so that the present will reflect who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I love you.
I love you too.